Yes, and a big thank you to Susan Hayes for engineering this morning and for she and Lyons Filmer for a wonderful In the Coastal Garden, followed by Turning Pages at Nature's Pace. And now it is time for Epicenter. First, I want to remind folks that we are presenting, KWMR presents a dressed-up stage recording of A Christmas Carol, Saturday, December 10th, and Sunday, the 11th. The doors are at 4, curtain at 4:30, and it's at Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. You do need to get your tickets in advance, and they are at kwmr.org/events, or you can search for A Christmas Carol on Eventbrite. And tickets are still available for both Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th. We hope you can join us. This is produced by Sharon Drake. A cast of local luminaries will entertain you. And yes, Janice and I will be your bar wenches. So please come on down to Toby's for on the weekend to enjoy the play. All right, it is time for Epicenter for reals now here on KWMR Point Reyes Station. This is Epicenter on KWMR West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Today, I'm your host, Amanda Eichstead, and joining me from Marin County, Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. Lael Duncan. Dr. Duncan, welcome to the KWMR airwaves.
Good morning, Amanda, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, too. So thank you for joining us. And I did peruse the Marin County update on health last Friday, and it sounds to me like we need to keep our wits about us in this season of not only COVID, but RSV and influenza. Please bring us up to speed.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there with that. We need to keep our wits about us. We've all learned a lot about how best to protect ourselves and our families. And that's really the main message is what can we all do to protect, you know, in those concentric circles, yourself, your loved ones, your community at large. And one of the things that we're stressing right now at public health is our concerns about the rapid rise in RSV this season. We're having an early season. We're having a swift uptick in the amount of RSV that we're detecting in the wastewater. We're also seeing more hospitalizations and more outpatient clinic visits that go along with this rise in the RSV virus amount that's in the community. And that puts a stress on our healthcare system. So how can we all respond to that? Really important that we're mindful of when we do and don't need to be tested. We encourage everyone with symptoms to stay home, of course, to be tested for COVID if you have a home kit. But it's not necessary to go in and see your primary healthcare provider or be seen in urgent care or the emergency department just because you think you have a respiratory illness that's not severe. It's important to know who might be at risk for more severe disease and when you should visit your healthcare provider.
Oop, you muted yourself accidentally.
Oh, sorry about that.
There you go.
So we want people to be very proactive. I think if you're at home and you're feeling sick and maybe you tested negative for COVID or you're wondering what the next steps are, it's a great idea to reach out to your primary care provider's office or to an urgent care setting and get some virtual help. Not necessary to go into those offices. They're going to be busy. We know clinics and emergency departments are already really busy. So for folks who are not severely ill or at risk, we're hoping that they can stay home and manage their symptoms and decrease that pressure on our healthcare system. And that's particularly important when it comes to RSV, and I can explain a little bit about that. Kids are generally well, right? Most kids are just really quite healthy. So when you look at a healthcare system, whether it's ours in Marin or throughout the Bay Area, you're going to find that about 5% of all the inpatient beds are reserved for pediatrics. And that's true here as elsewhere. We have about 9 beds dedicated for pediatric cases. So you can imagine that during a bad RSV season, those could fill up very, very fast. Now, they're not full yet, and anyone in the community who wants care or needs care certainly can get it. But what we want to do is be putting that buffer around our healthcare system so that we don't end up in a big surge where we might be in the position of having to transfer our younger patients to another hospital, for example, that might be further from their home, either across the county or out of the county or even someplace else in the state, depending on how much impact there is. So we want to keep those systems resilient. We want to keep those beds open, and we want to fill them with the patients that have the highest needs. And I think protecting ourselves, protecting our families, doing all the interventions that we've learned so well how to do is really, really important. First and foremost, get your COVID vaccine and your flu vaccine for RSV protection. Hand hygiene, really important. Respiratory etiquette, don't sneeze or cough into your hands. Use your elbow, use a tissue. Again, hand hygiene, very important. And masks really are still a great way to protect us against all of these respiratory viruses. So there's just a lot that we can do.
Yeah, it does sound like masks. I was just thinking, with all of these other viruses floating around, we want to be cautious not to catch those. And it is important to wash those hands. Now, in the Marin County update from Friday, Dr. Duncan, there is a piece about Paxlovid and saying that it has been found to reduce the risk of long COVID. I have talked to a lot of people who, when they got sick, and they were quite sick but not hospitalized, were told that they wouldn't be prescribed Paxlovid because of potential side effects. And I'm curious if you can speak to that versus this other finding that it can reduce long COVID.
Yeah, I think as with any new therapeutic intervention, and Paxlovid is new, right? It's been going to be out about a year now. We learn as we go along, and we've all been waiting, anxiously waiting, for data about whether or not Paxlovid would have any impact on what we are seeing as the post-COVID sequelae, those long COVID syndromes that people are experiencing, the brain fog, the fatigue, the cardiac abnormalities, higher incidence of other health ailments, so underlying health problems that are exacerbated or worsened following COVID, and they don't seem to recover. And all of that is part of that long COVID syndrome. And there was a very large study that came out among veterans and really looked at not just the immediate weeks after COVID, but the many months following COVID. And they found significant decreases across almost every body system measured. So brain fog, cardiac, pulmonary, and all-cause hospitalization. That means in general, for individuals who had COVID and took Paxlovid, their chance of being admitted to the hospital for any reason within the next number of months was reduced compared to those who experienced symptoms and health concerns following COVID. So of course, you know, this was one study, was a large study. However, we do want to see that corroborated. But for me, it's very significant evidence to suggest that we should be using Paxlovid regularly to treat individuals who are eligible. And who's eligible? Any adult, certainly, and any young person with risk factors, but particularly those over 50, anyone with even mild symptoms, it might be reasonable to consider COVID. I do think a lot of providers initially were under prescribing. There was a concern for many months that there was going to be a shortage. That is not the case at this time. There was also a difficulty originally in getting access to drug. I'm talking about way back in February and March, maybe even April, where those supply lines were just impacted and we weren't really seeing it on the shelves. People were trying to get it, they couldn't get it, or providers just hadn't had the opportunity to learn as much about it as they should. Also, shifting that mindset of whether or not we treat viral illnesses. As you know, most cold and respiratory viruses we don't treat, flu being the exception. There is a very effective medication for flu. But I think that's kind of how we need to think about the the Paxlovid medication is like Tamiflu for flu. Paxlovid can be very effective in reducing the amount of time that you're symptomatic. And more importantly, with Paxlovid, it really has the potential to decrease those after effects that can occur based on the detrimental effects of the inflammatory process that happens when you get COVID. So I think, yes, to your question, are there side effects? Yes, drugs can cause side effects. Are there drug interactions? Yes. And every individual should discuss with their provider whether or not those risks and benefits outweigh the side effects, right? So a bothersome side effect that you might experience for a week or two, or the need to temporarily hold one of your other medications for 5 days while you take Paxlovid, may be pretty minimal in comparison to the potential short and long-term benefits that you would get from COVID. And if you have questions about that, it's important to go over that with your provider. But I would encourage individuals, particularly those over 50, and certainly anyone with underlying health conditions, to consider taking Paxlovid when they have COVID. I know if I get COVID, I am definitely planning to be treated. Very worried about long COVID. And I think that is a good option. It's the best option that we have for disease treatment right now.
Well, thank you for that, Dr. Duncan. That's interesting because I just keep hearing from people who have had COVID and they've recovered and they're like, I was really sick. And I said, oh, did you take Paxlovid? And they said, no, they wouldn't give it to us. They said we weren't sick enough.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe something we need to explore further. And I advocate for individuals to have open communications with their providers. So if they're getting that message, they should ask for an explanation, you know, help me understand why I'm not eligible, or, hey, you know, I've heard, and don't I fit into this category? You know, I think there is a perception, and there have been some studies in the press about the potential underuse of Paxlovid. So I think that's something where we could still be doing better. And maybe public health can lean in additionally with some messaging here as well as we head into the holidays. So that's a great tip for us that I will take back to our leadership team.
Well, thank you for that. So right now it says as of last week that we are the community level for COVID-19 is low. And is that, do you think, likely to increase based on the wastewater sampling and the case numbers that we are seeing?
Yes, I think what we're seeing is kind of a slow upward trend in cases. It's not a swift rise. It's not like what we were seeing leading up to the Delta surge or the Omicron surge. We have a lot of immunity across our county, across our whole community now, either due to prior infection, particularly with BA5, or due to vaccination, or in many cases, both. So our immunity wall, if you want to think of it that way, is much higher than it used to be. And so that is putting us in a more positive place as we head into winter. And again, I think we're not expecting a massive surge like we saw with Omicron. We're expecting cases to go up. We're expecting people to continue to need to be hospitalized and to receive specialized care. And one of the things, as we were talking about earlier, that's most challenging with that is now we also have flu and RSV. So we're just going to see potentially a much larger amount of respiratory virus associated hospitalizations than what we would have seen prior to COVID. If you talk to any emergency physician or ICU doc, they'll tell you that December is always bad anyway. It's just a tough time for our bodies. A lot of people getting together, a lot of people sharing germs. Flu goes up, other viruses go up, and we're expecting it to be like that and potentially worse this year because of what we're seeing. And there is a trend right now, if you look at wastewater measures down in Southern California or for the whole Western U.S., COVID is trending up. It is a mixture of variants, but that BQ1.1, which is highly immune resistant, is definitely on the rise, and more of the cases are due to that. So folks who had BA2 or BA5, they may be at risk to get BA1.1 or BQ1.1. The other thing with that BQ variants, which are now becoming dominant, increasing over 50% this week, The BQ variants are immune evasive to the extent that BQ1.1 is pretty much able to evade all of the currently available monoclonal antibodies. So for our community members who are immunocompromised, that really limits their treatment choices and their protection choices. So aside from vaccination, which we know may not be very potent in individuals with immune dysfunction, they now have fewer options for treatment and protection. Another reason why others in the community need to work to protect those people by keeping ourselves vaccinated, wearing our masks, staying home when we have symptoms, and not spreading disease. Keeping those hand gels and those hand wipes in your pocket, just being careful when you're going into a public place, you're opening that door handle. Wow, you need to clean your hands after that. A lot of that will help to protect our most vulnerable.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of times people are just worried about themselves and not getting ill. But if you, you know, are a healthy person and you can survive going through any one of these respiratory viruses, you want to really take care to not pass it on to somebody who may not have as robust an immune system as you do.
Exactly, exactly. And most of us, you know, the average person who gets RSV or the flu or COVID, most of us do fine, right? But if you look at that bell curve, you've got people on either end, and some people are going to do very poorly. And as a community, that's where they get their protection from their own personal protective behaviors, avoiding crowds, wearing masks, being vaccinated, and then also from being in a community that's highly vaccinated, that washes their hands a lot, that uses physical distancing when necessary, and those types of practices.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I want to remind you, you're listening to Epicenter on KWMR. I'm Amanda Eichstedt. I'm in conversation today, this Monday, with Dr. Lael Duncan, who is a Deputy Director of Health at Marin County Health and Human Services. And we are talking about the rise of RSV influenza and the fact that COVID is still around and how we can protect ourselves going into this holiday season. A couple of things. One is that it's cold. It's been really cold, Dr. Duncan. And that makes it a little bit more difficult to get excited about doing things outdoors. And I know that Dr. Willis had talked about, you know, good ventilation, keeping windows open and things like that. But if it's really cold, people are going to be more likely to go inside. Are there any other tips other than sort of maybe running an air filter of some kind, or not, I'm not sure, giving everybody jackets early?
Yeah. Well, being outside is great, you know, and we're so lucky here, even when it's cold, it's often quite lovely outside. So walks outside on Thanksgiving, really nice. But we certainly expect that people will be gathering. I know I'm looking forward to gathering with my family and friends a number of times over this coming weekend. But some of the things that I, and I hope others will do, is really monitor yourself for exposures and symptoms. If you think you've been exposed or you know you've been exposed, don't expose others. Stay home and be tested, right? You know, if you have symptoms, be tested. Stay home. Avoid others. Wear a mask. You might also use a rapid test before you go to a gathering. That's important. If you find that you've become ill after a gathering, really important to notify those folks as quickly as possible. Maybe help them to find access to testing if that seems appropriate, but hopefully we all know how to find a COVID test these days. Masking, I think, can still be helpful at times, and you can use that strategically even sometimes in your own home. It just depends on what you're doing, but I think monitoring for symptoms, avoiding gatherings when you're symptomatic or when you've been exposed, we just need to have that as a practice. Testing before an event for COVID, notifying other individuals if you become ill or symptomatic shortly after a gathering. Those things are all really important. And again, as we're going to be sharing food, what's really at the top of that list? Hand hygiene, hand hygiene, hand hygiene, right? Just make sure that your food preparation is safe, that you keep your foods at the right temperature, either cold or hot, so we're not going to end up with any foodborne illnesses over Thanksgiving, in addition to the respiratory viruses. So lots of safety actions we can take.
Yes, for sure. And I'll take this opportunity right now to remind folks that you can still pick up rapid COVID tests in five different locations in West Marin. at the Tomales Town Hall on Thursdays from 2 to 3. I'm thinking a lot of these Thursday options are not going to be happening this week because it is a holiday. So if you didn't get your stuff from the Bolinas Community Center last Thursday and there's someone floating around the community center, upon request, you can ask them for tests. At the Inverness Firehouse, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., appointments are required. They ask you to call 415-669-7151. At West Marin Community Services, right now, until noon, I saw Seamus out there. He's got his table, he's got his tests, and there were people picking up tests so that they can do exactly what Dr. Duncan was recommending, which is to test before you go to an event or if you are symptomatic. And the San Geronimo Commons normally does Thursday. I'm assuming that because Thursday is a holiday, that is not going to be happening. So it looks like your opportunity is now to, if you haven't stocked up, to get down to community services. And if you're listening to this at 5 o'clock, you can always purchase those tests at pharmacies, as I understand it.
Yeah, thank you, Amanda. We want everyone to feel like they have access to tests quickly and easily, particularly heading into this season.
Yes, indeed. And are there other things? I guess one of the things that I wanted to ask about is that I know that this county did a really great job when the COVID-19 vaccines became available, and very high 98% vaccination rate in Marin County. Seems like people have gotten a little fatigued with the concept of getting vaccinated, and not as many people are getting their boosters.
Yeah, that's true. We are seeing that. And our community outreach teams, our public health information officers, our public health officers, everyone is really trying to communicate about that and to strengthen that message, particularly now, for obvious reasons, with COVID on the rise. And I think, you know, you and I had communicated before about why, you know, there are different reasons for that. I think there's fatigue, there's confusion in people's minds about how much more helpful or how much more protective an additional booster is. What's the benefit for me and my family? And we are seeing in the scientific data now coming out in the last just a couple of weeks, really strong information to suggest that the booster as measured, the effect of the booster as measured in people, now we're looking at human studies now, is effective to increase your protective antibody levels and your immune response, and that there is benefit for these BA5 subvariants. And we really have been waiting to see that data in humans, and now it's coming out. It's pretty optimistic, I want to say. So the booster appears to be effective and safe and with very few side effects, and protective for BA5 and daughter variants. So that's an important message. I think, as always, it's challenging to get into communities of color and others who may be disadvantaged in any way on the basis of their communication or their access to information. So we're doing a lot of outreach in those areas. And we do want to stress that message that it's really important to have the booster and the flu vaccine. And then people say to me, you know, gosh, Leah, well, you know, I had the booster, but then I got COVID last summer anyway. Yes, it's true that having the vaccine does not necessarily prevent you from getting infected. It will reduce the risk of getting infected, but just doesn't bring it down to zero, of course. But what it will do most assuredly is protect you from having any serious outcomes and hospitalization. And that's really what we're talking about here, is avoiding serious illness and potentially death for some individuals, right? So we have a long way to go with our COVID education. It's been a rapid couple of years, almost 3 years now with the COVID pandemic. A lot of learning is happening. A lot of messaging has come out and then changed and shifted as our goals and priorities have changed during the pandemic. And I think we're getting to a place where we're going to have more clarity of message, good data to look at. And I don't know what's coming right around the corner for what 2023 booster program is going to look like for COVID. I haven't even heard anything about that yet. So this is where we are right now. This is what's safe to do right now. And we will continue learning as we go along.
Well, I also appreciate representatives from the county joining us on KWMR basically weekly throughout the entire pandemic, and continuing on with this public health information as we move forward is critical for getting the word out. So I really appreciate all of your knowledge, Dr. Duncan, and thank you for joining me on Epicenter today.
Well, thank you, Amanda, and thank you for sharing this important messaging. We support your work, and I look forward to chatting next time.
Have a wonderful holiday.
All right, you too.
Thanks. Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, you can email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org. Thank you for listening.